News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Well, look, let's bring in Seamus Coffey, Chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council and Lecturer in Economics in UCC on this. I caught up with Seamus just a little bit earlier. I began by putting it to him that the report is entitled Colossal Miss Opportunity. And I asked him to lay bare what we're looking at if we don't get our act together.
I suppose we're looking at trying to do a rough quantification of the risks we face for not hitting our climate emissions reduction targets as agreed within the EU. Like, these are things that we've agreed, we've sat around the table, we've come to agreement about how countries should reduce their carbon emissions in the EU by 2030, and then looking at consequences of countries that either A, hit their targets and have excess credits to sell, and B, countries that miss their targets and have to try and purchase some of those offsetting credits if they miss their targets. From an Irish perspective, we're on track to miss our emissions reduction targets across a wide range of areas, whether it's overall emissions linked to land use and sort of the production of renewable energy. And then it's trying to look at, well, if we miss our targets, what are the fiscal implications of that? If we have to buy these offsetting credits from countries that have hit their targets, countries like Spain, Portugal and Greece, which can be sure be looking forward to the windfall they'd receive if countries like Ireland and other EU countries had to buy credits from them. And given the uncertainty, the range is quite high. When you look at countries like Ireland, which seems on a per capita basis to be the largest emitter of its emissions reduction targets, look at the potential prices for these credits that we might have to buy. It's a very significant cost that could arise for us in the middle of the 2030s.
How significant?
Running to many billions of euros.
How significant are we talking about? I've seen a figure of 26 billion in the papers this morning.
So that would be under a sort of a very adverse scenario, like where we stop, we take no new action, and the cost of the credit is very, very high, and other countries also miss driving up the cost even higher. So that would be at the extreme end. Like, if we were to take action, if other countries were to take action, we could reduce that down into the low single digits. But whatever way we look at it, you're looking at a cost that runs to many billions of euro, whether it is small single digits billions of euro, which is a large amount of money, or running into those much larger amounts, which the whole deal of uncertainty around them, we can take action now, and perhaps other countries will take action also. But that range is an indication that there is a cost out there. It's a huge risk. And from a fiscal council perspective, we should be about reducing fiscal risk.
Just to be clear, are we the outlier in relation to this relative to other EU countries?
So if you look at it in overall terms, rather than other countries which in aggregate terms are going to miss their targets, but more, these are all bigger countries, the likes of Germany, France, Italy. If you look at it on a per-person basis, per capita basis, we are on track to be the worst in the EU. And that means then the implications on our public finances are likely to be the most severe in the EU. We are a bit of an outlier. Yes, we're a small country in overall terms. Our emissions are huge when it comes to EU and global terms. But if you look at the way this is constructed, the way we've agreed to it, on a per-person basis, relative to our size, we're likely to be the worst in the EU.
Is it possible that come 2030, the EU will say, we've all missed our targets, we're not going to do this?
As I said, like, some countries are not in that position at all. They've actually met and exceeded our targets. Countries like Greece, Spain, Portugal, etc. And they will say that all the countries have signed up to this. And if they have credits to purchase, they will be looking for other countries to purchase them. Yes, in overall terms, there are more countries going to miss their targets than hit them. But we're going to take the regulations and the legislation as it's written now. Like, this is the law. We have agreed to it. We've signed up to it. We can question maybe what would become the implementation back when the 2030s, when the assessment is made. But look at the position now, and this is a clear risk. And of course, from our perspective, like, the case of what do? We sit in our hands now and face these potential...
Well, I was going to ask you, Seamus, you're recommending three key actions. Talk us through those three key potential actions.
Yes, yeah, so like, the one thing we could do is we could sit in our hands and just say we'll incur those costs in the 2030s and transfer that money to other member states who have been successful in hitting their emissions targets. Or we could spend the money now to reduce our own miss of our climate targets and then get the benefits of perhaps improved electricity network, reduction in emissions from land use, or perhaps a greater transition to electric vehicles. So we could spend money now. These things all cost money now.
Okay. Can we deal with each of those three, individually? How does upgrading the energy grid help in terms of reducing our emissions?
So it would help us to get the renewable energy that could be produced to where it's needed. So like if we take it where our ability to create renewable energy is probably at its greatest in terms of wind, etc., that would be in more rural areas, and whereas the demand would be in more urban areas. And we've seen, I suppose, with the recent storms, the difficulties that they can create for our network. So upgrading the resilience of it will like allow us to be able to better transport the power that can be generated by renewable sources as to where the areas of demand are, and rather than having those generation closer to urban areas, which wouldn't be renewable, which would be more based on fossil fuels. If it comes to electric vehicles, like, there are many advantages to a transition to electric vehicles. One being is that we can actually get workers abroad to produce the vehicles, and we would just have to buy them. There's lots of things we want to do, like upgrading the electricity network or things in relation to housing have to be produced here. But if we have the financing to address things like electric vehicles, that we can get workers abroad to make them. And then when it comes to land use, you can look at things like forestry targets, etc. Yes, again, it would cost money to get land use transferred across, but again, would reduce emissions across a wide range of areas. And the advantage of this is we'll end up spending the money regardless. It's either in compliance costs in the 2030s or in measures to reduce our emissions now. So we can spend the money, get greener, potentially less expensive, and definitely more less import-intensive energy now, or pay compliance costs, and it's like to see in Portugal and Greece benefit from our spending.
And just briefly on electronic vehicles, there's a suggestion maybe we could subsidise cars, electric vehicles, so they're no more expensive than €15,000.
Yeah, so like, I suppose you want to give a bit of an incentive for people to purchase them, and I suppose there has been issues raised about electric vehicles, that the price and costing would be one significant one. We've also seen issues in the second-hand market with pricing for new electric vehicles. Maybe so to reduce some of those doubts and increase the chances of people switching them, you would make it financially more viable. That would be to increase the incentives. And again, that has the advantage of being something that's produced abroad, and we just have to contribute the money.
Final question. Things like upgrading the electricity network, re-wetting peatlands, changing agricultural use, they're all very politically contentious issues that we haven't shown an appetite to embrace in the past. Can we do so now?
And I suppose like one issue we're trying to highlight here is that there are consequences to this. And like if we just kind of take the current the trajectory we're on in terms of missing our targets, there's potential to be very serious financial implications. It's likely we're going to have to spend the money irregardless. So we could spend it now and get the benefits of that greener, potentially cheaper and less import-intensive energy, or wait until 2030, have all this implemented, and likely face huge non-compliance costs. Regardless of the makeup of a government, regardless of sort of political leanings, this is the legislation we've agreed to as an EU term. If we miss the target, these compliance costs are coming down the track. And we have a limited opportunity. That window is getting narrower and narrower. But if we do something now, we can reduce those costs.
Very finally, you're an economist. You're not a climate change expert. I'm very conscious of that. But in terms of the government, it's clear the government needs to act. What they're doing today is bringing a proposal for an LNG terminal to Cabinet. I'm not asking you about the merits or otherwise of that, because that's not your area of expertise. But does it suggest a government going in the right direction?
I suppose, from our perspective, City Council, hard to comment fully on that. Like, we have to have a broad and wholly comprehensive energy system. Like, a shift to renewables is certainly a direction we need to go. But you have to have the backups there, and maybe one such backup would be in the case of gas, and maybe looking at areas of supply and storage and security of supply there is something to address. But really, that's something that we have a huge view on. But we have to look at the overall picture, and a greater switch to renewables is something that should bring our costs down. And if a backup in the form of gas is part of that, well, that's sort of looking at a more broader view of it.
Okay, that was Seamus Coffey, Chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council and Lecturer in Economics in UCC, talking to me a little bit earlier.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.